Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love and dating coach of the duo. And I am so excited to bring you this week's episode as I got to interview my dear, wonderful friend, Eve Lewis, on all things meditation and mindfulness. Eve is a mindfulness and meditation teacher, and she is the director of meditation at Headspace. I have a real soft spot for Headspace. It's the app that taught me how to meditate around 10 years ago. And it's one of my favourite apps and a firm staple in my self-love toolkit. If you're familiar with Headspace, then you'll likely recognise Eve's voice in this episode as she's one of the teachers in the app. Eve and I met around 10 years ago when we both worked in advertising. We actually just celebrated a decade of friendship on a recent Zoom date. And on that date, we each took a moment to connect with our younger selves and to celebrate the journey that we've both been on over this past decade. Mindfulness and meditation have, without a doubt, played a huge part in my self-love and self-development journey over this past decade. The practice of meditation has supported me through all kinds of ups and downs in my life, and it's had a big impact on how I relate to myself and how I relate to others too. In this episode, we talk about our own journeys with meditation. Eve shares her journey of how she came to work at Headspace as a teacher and ambassador of meditation. And I share my own journey of how meditation helped me to cultivate a secure attachment in my relationships. I talk about attachment theory in this episode, and so I'm going to link to a couple of other episodes that explores that in more detail in case you want to learn more. We talk about the power of mindfulness and the difference between mindfulness and meditation. We talk about how to relate to anxiety in a more mindful way. We talk about mindful dating and how to create a mindful dating ritual. We talk about how mindfulness can help our relationships to thrive and so much more. I loved recording this episode. I really hope you enjoy it too. Here it is. Eve, a big welcome to the Project Love podcast. It's so good to have you here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. It's such a treat to have a Friday morning or Friday afternoon session with you.
Yay. So it's Friday afternoon. Well, it's nearly Friday evening for us. I'm recording this in London and Eve is recording this over in LA. And we are bringing you this episode via the magic of Zoom. So apologies in advance for any sound issues. So Eve, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I would love to hear your journey of how you came to be a mindfulness and meditation teacher and the impact and power that meditation has had on your life.
I was actually telling a coworker the other day about how it was a very good friend of mine, you, that first introduced me to this idea of meditation. You'd, I think, sent me one of the first articles that was done about Headspace in The Guardian. And you said, you might like this. It's really helped with my stress. And I remember thinking, and I was really stressed at the time, not in a particularly great place. There'd been a lot of challenges with some family situations that had been happening. And I just overall wasn't in a very good headspace. And I remember thinking to myself, no, meditation isn't for me. And I was really quite adamant about that because I didn't really understand what it was. And I just associated it with needing to sit for hours on end and wearing, you know, special clothes and homing. And the truth is, I really knew nothing about it. Anyway, my stress levels got worse. In fact, one day I woke up with a bad rash on my face, my hand, and it was all stress related. And so I dug out that article you'd sent me and I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a try. So I gave it a try. I did a 10-minute session and It's not that suddenly all of my problems and challenges just disappeared, but I suddenly realized, wow, I don't need to feel like this all of the time. The power in just stopping and pausing and bringing your attention into the present moment was really, really profound for me, because basically I'd spent my entire life never doing that. So it was really from that moment, yeah, just sort of over 9 years ago, that I thought this is going to be something that will be in my life, because I got a huge amount of benefit from it. Then I joined Headspace. Another good friend of ours, Lucy, put me in touch with Rich Pearson. And yeah, I've now been at Headspace just coming up to 8 years. And I've done a lot of jobs at Headspace. It was a young company when I started. I think there was only 10 people or so. And I was very fortunate to work with Andy Puddicombe. And it was really through him that he inspired me to do the training that I've done, and to help teach other people the benefits that I have received so much over the years. And I never, ever thought, ever in a million years, that A, I'd work for a meditation company, because I was so dismissive of it, and B, that I would end up teaching it. So yeah, I realized that, you know, meditation is something that you need to do on a more regular basis to be able to cultivate that deeper sense of awareness and compassion with yourself and others. Mm-hmm. Because I had very much, you know, stopped and started, which, by the way, is very normal and is completely okay if anyone does that. Just with what I was doing at Headspace and my job, it really did, you know, require me to practice on a daily basis. But I'm so glad I did, because the impact it's had on my life has really been significant. There's been some really, really challenging moments in the last few years. I lost my dad very suddenly, and I feel my practice was such a support to me during those very, very dark and difficult days. You know, when my husband JP and I moved out here to LA from London, you know, leaving our friends, our families behind, just having that sense of groundedness and that sense of calm that I knew, even though when days were really difficult, that I could come back to. Because with meditation, with mindfulness, you're really building a sense of connection with your mind and body, so that you have that sense of resiliency, that sense of groundedness, even when things are feeling completely crazy around you. And don't get me wrong, I still get really stressed, still have really difficult days. They don't disappear, but through meditation and mindfulness, it helps you to build a different perspective. And rather than reacting, you move to a place of skillful response. Now, I don't always get it completely right. I'm human at the end of the day. But it's been an incredible journey. And now sort of moving to the next stage as being a teacher, it's just been a crazy few years. And I'm just taking each day as it comes.
That's mindfulness in itself, isn't it?
That is mindfulness in itself.
God, that's actually been a mantra of mine during lockdown. What is the difference between mindfulness and meditation?
It's a really good question. And there is a difference, but often, particularly within the media, they're used interchangeably. So meditation is the practice. So that is where you would intentionally take a few minutes out of your day, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe longer, depending on how you're feeling, where you practice bringing or cultivating mindfulness. So you're training the mind to be more present, more aware, more compassionate. And it's through that that you, generally speaking, start to feel a greater sense of calm, clarity, compassion in your life. So meditation is the training ground for mindfulness. So mindfulness is the ability to be in the present moment, fully engaged with a soft and open mind. So it's meditation in action. And another way I like to describe mindfulness is paying attention on purpose with a sense of kindness. Because so often we're not in the present moment. Mm. There was a study done by Harvard in two Harvard psychologists. Now, although it was in 2010, my sense is the number I'm about to share may even have gone up. But they found that as adults, we spend 47% of our waking hours lost in thought. And what's more, most of that thought is either spent thinking about things that have happened or thinking about things that haven't yet happened, a future that hasn't happened. And they found that a wandering mind led to more of an unhappy mind. So that paying attention on purpose with kindness is something that, you know, we as human beings aren't very good at.
That really resonates, particularly in the last 12 months, that sort of imagining, you know, a future that hasn't happened yet. That's anxiety, isn't it? That's really that uncertainty and the catastrophizing that can come from that.
Well, there's worrying and fear, which are very real emotions. And honestly, this past year, it's completely understandable to feel a sense of anxiety, a sense of, you know, uncertainty, fear, worry about what's going to happen, because our lives have literally been turned upside down. And unlike, say, for example, a natural disaster or a big life-challenging event, there tends to always be sort of known beginning, middle, and end, even though that might be a long period of time. But with this, it doesn't feel, we don't have any sense of the end. Mm-hmm. That saying, there will be an end. And we're starting to see now with the vaccine coming out and that, you know, okay, we can start to put some focus or attention on, okay, this will come to an end. But for a lot of this past year, there hasn't been that sense of, will this ever end?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very easy. And, you know, I've done it myself, you know, to go to that place of,
catastrophizing.
Catastrophizing. And, you know, our thinking mind, our worrying mind, our doubting mind is, you know, goes into overdrive. And what tends to happen is with a thought will start and then we'll feed that thought, which then turns into more thoughts. And then it just gets into this cycle of worry and doubt. So it's not that you are an anxious person or that I'm an anxious person. It's just that what's happening around us is causing us to feel that sense of worry and uncertainty. Because saying, you know, I am an anxious person, it's putting a label on yourself, which you then feed into. Mm-hmm. So recognizing this, I am feeling anxiety, but I am not anxiety itself, can sometimes be a helpful way to reframe it.
Yeah, and you know what? Just this morning, I was meditating using Headspace, and Andy was talking about non-identification. It's so helpful, I think, to reframe that. That's such a helpful reframe, to step back from this label, I am an anxious person, and talk about it as if, like, you know, it's anxiety that's moving through me.
Yeah, something that I found really helpful is recognizing, often we're very quick to recognize when a stressful or anxious feeling begins or anger begins, but we're not as aware of when it ends. And so that sense of feeling like anxiety is rising or stress is rising in the body, it can be really helpful to go, okay, this is happening to me, I am feeling these things, and just not, first of all, knowing it will pass, but then just recognizing, okay, if I feed into this, this is going to exaggerate, you know, what I'm currently feeling. And so there's a choice in that moment to say, do I want to keep fueling this fire, or do I want to try and step back and maybe give myself, maybe just taking a few deep breaths. In fact, deep breathing is a fantastic way to really calm the body down. More oxygen flowing through the body activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which essentially is the calming center of the body and the brain. And so, recognizing that it will pass, and it's not something that is you. It's just something that is happening in that moment.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the principles of mindfulness and how they can really impact our relationships. And I'll give you my experience with it, because when I was preparing for this podcast, I realized that actually my self-love journey and self-development journey that I've been on over this past decade really began with meditation. And the mutual friend that you mentioned earlier, Lucy, she was the one who showed me the Headspace app back in the early days. And I'd never meditated before. And I was really curious about it and curious to give it a go. And now looking back, I can really see that meditation helped me to cultivate a really kind and really compassionate relationship with myself. It really helped me to love myself. And the practice of being present with my thoughts and my feelings and being compassionate with myself has really helped my relationships to flourish as well. And I, as you know, and probably many of our listeners know, I geek out on attachment theory. It's like one of my favorite topics to talk about. And I was doing a bit of research into the impact of mindfulness and attachment. I feel that it helped me to cultivate a secure attachment in my relationship. And I found this research that actually backs it up. They've now found, and I'll link to this research in the show notes, they've now found a link between mindfulness and attachment related anxiety and avoidance. So relationship anxiety, relationship avoidance, and they found a correlation between the practice of mindfulness and a decrease in relationship anxiety and relationship avoidance. And I think one of the reasons why it does that, and I want to see what you think of this, but I think for me, it was really about increasing my self-esteem and confidence in myself. And that's really a big part of secure attachment as well. As someone with an anxious attachment style experience in relationships was that I used to feel very incomplete on my own, and my relationships were often a source of drama, disappointment. I was really tuned into that not good enough soundtrack. And so, yeah, relationships were always full of anxiety for me. I tended to lose myself a lot in relationships, and they were often very unfulfilling as a result. What's your point of view from a mindfulness perspective on let's say the anxious attachment style and how that can really impact us?
Yeah, I mean, what you've just talked about is, you know, a very common challenge I think a lot of people face, because relationships in life are challenging even from a very young age with our parents and the environment that we're brought up in. And it can really, from a very young age, which you experienced, create that sense of anxiety, that sense of low self-esteem. And that really, really is with you for a long time. You know, that inner voice, which is often talked about within mindfulness, is there in the background, just humming away very often. And it can often be unconscious as well, that sense of not feeling like you'll be good enough, that you need to change. If only I could be like this, then my problems will stop, or I'll be a better person. And so from a meditation mindfulness standpoint, and this was, I read a wonderful book by, it's one of Andy's teachers actually, and he talks about the inner voice as making friends with yourself. Mm. And I thought it was such a, you know, when I first read it, I was like, what does he mean, make friends with yourself? And I thought about how often I'm really, really hard on myself and really talk to myself as if I was speaking to a friend, I would never say sort of some of the things that I would say to myself to someone else. I wouldn't end up with very many friends. And so part of the practice, really part of the journey with meditation and mindfulness, is just breaking down the armor, breaking down that sense of hardness that we put around ourselves as a way of protecting ourselves in many ways. And so a huge part of meditation and mindfulness is in developing compassion for self and compassion to others. Now, obviously, you know, we can't change what's happened in our past. We can't, unfortunately, change, you know, challenging, difficult situations and relationships that have already happened, but we can help to shape the different pathway kind of going forwards. And so with meditation and mindfulness, it's really about letting go of those storylines, first of all, in the mind, that sense of I'm not good enough, I need to change. If only I do this, I'll be better. And this isn't going to happen, you know, overnight. It does take some time. And which is why I said paying attention on purpose with a sense of kindness. It's so important that we start to change the narrative of how we talk to ourselves. And so I think with something like anxious attachment, helping to become friends with yourself and realizing that, A, your past experiences don't necessarily define you. It doesn't mean like you always have to be like that person, mm-hmm. but really, really cultivating that sense of love, that sense of acceptance with yourself, so that you can start to break down those barriers that you put up. And, you know, it's not always easy work, honestly. A lot of the times we've been living with those feelings for a long time, but it is workable. And one of the most amazing things is that, you know, I've met people and I've heard from people, you know, with really, really deep-seated challenges with self-esteem and really, really hate themselves. And it's been a beautiful process to see how they can actually learn to love themselves in a way that is really from the heart, and they truly become friends with themselves.
Mm, gorgeous. Yeah, that was really my experience now looking back. The sort of beginnings of that self-love journey, really learning to be a kind friend to myself, treating myself just in the same way as I treat my friends, my loved ones. And it's just made such a big impact in my relationships, in my relationship with my husband and in my friendships. And I think it is so much about that acceptance and compassion with ourselves and having compassion for others. And really, love is so much about being present, isn't it? Love only exists in the present. And so it makes so much sense that, you know, mindfulness and this practice of meditation will help us to be more available in our relationships, be more present to the people that we love, to ourselves. And as a result, our relationships can really thrive from that place, I think, from that place of acceptance and kindness.
Yeah, and something I really love and I've learned, or, you know, actually through Andy and my other teacher, David, is that in Buddhist traditions, when they think about the mind, they point to the heart. Because the heart, and not in the sense of the physical organ, it's that sense of cultivating that sense of pure love, unconditional love, you know, for yourself. And that sense of acceptance that, you know, starting where you are, it isn't about who you think you are, who you want to be. It's truly working with yourself as you are and you know, yeah, developing that different relationship with yourself. Bit like when you meet someone new for the first time, you know, it takes a little bit of time figuring each other out, you know, understanding what each other, and I think we have to do that with ourselves, and we don't very often.
Well, this is something I wanted to talk about, actually, because mindful dating comes up a lot in my coaching sessions when my clients get to the dating part of the 3-month coaching journey that they're on with me. It's so much about what you just said. It's really having that beginner's mind, you know, that principle at the heart of mindfulness, having that beginner's mind when you're making new connections on a dating app or when you're going out and meeting people for the first time, and being present to who that person is and bringing that spirit of curiosity, compassion and kindness.
Yeah, I mean, there's... when it comes to dating, there's going to be a lot of emotions attached to it as well. Nervousness, you know, worry, anxiety, excitement, you know, and it's, you know, on the one hand, it can be a very exciting process. And on the other hand, it can be a daunting and sometimes negative process for some people. It's also a scenario where it's very, very easy to project or expect a certain outcome, because obviously with, you know, dating apps, you can present a certain image of yourself, or someone else can present a certain image. And therefore you go into a situation thinking, okay, this person's like this, mm-hmm. because you have a certain amount of information about them. And of course, naturally, we all do it. You're going to start creating different scenarios in your mind about, okay, well, maybe they're like this, and maybe we can do this. And then, you know, and a lot of this is exciting stuff. It feels good. And it's that sense of sort of nervous excitement can be a really good thing. The challenge, though, is when that shifts to a place of either putting too many expectations on the other person that this needs to, you know, be a certain way, or if when you meet the person, they don't live up to your expectations, that's when obviously there can be a lot of perhaps tension or friction, because again, we've projected this image, we've created this scenario about this person. And if they're not living up to it, then it can feel like, you know, it's their fault, and that, you know, they're the one who isn't getting you or understanding you. But again, it's all thoughts. I think that's something that we have to kind of remember in those scenarios. And trust me, I've done it myself. You know, we create this huge scenario of something that we want to happen, and then when it doesn't pan out like that, there's that sense of disappointment. So being present, and actually, you know, I use this exercise a lot as a way of helping to connect the mind and body. If you find that you're doing that a lot, and if you find that perhaps nerves or excitement are getting the better of you, it can be really helpful to just come into the body, and because we spend so much time in the mind, and to even just taking a few moments to like scan down your body and really, really feeling each part of your body, like really feeling your feet on the floor. Because so often the mind-body connection is disconnected. And what we're trying to do is to bring yourself back into the present moment and recognize, okay, actually, I don't need to go off into a future that hasn't happened yet. And I'm going to try as much as possible to be as present as I can, whether it's going to meet someone for the first time or whether it's maybe a second date or a third date, and actually practice some mindful listening, mindful communication, because if often we don't hear the words that someone's saying, we hear the words we want to hear. And then that's also when that can get in the way of expectations or that sense of, well, that didn't go how I expected. Are we actually listening? Are we actually really, really in tune with what's happening in our bodies and what's happening in the environment, you know, that we're in? There was, again, this was in my teacher training, but there was a kind of three steps before responding. The first one is looking. So really, really actually being present with the person that, you know, you're interacting with. How does their body language seem? You know, what's even down to, you know, what are they wearing? How do they seem energy wise? You know, we get so much communication comes through body language. And obviously at the moment, we're not getting as much, you know, physical interaction, but there's still a lot to be said about just paying attention to just looking at your surroundings, looking at the person, there's a lot you can tell from that. The next one is listening. So really, really actually focusing on what is being said and what the other person is saying. And again, in a dating situation, remember the other person is probably also feeling nervous and is also probably going through their version of challenges. I think often it can feel like we're the only ones experiencing that sense of stress or worry or anxiety, but everyone does. And then the third one is feeling. So really from listening, really feeling what's coming, what you're hearing. You know, if someone's is talking about a difficult day or a difficult situation, or equally they're talking about something they're really passionate about, trying to put yourself in their shoes and really be present with the experience that's happening. And then you respond. And you're responding with all the information, the sense of, you know, I'm present in this situation. I've really heard what they're saying. And therefore I'm going to respond based on all of that information versus responding based on what we think we've heard and what we think we should say.
Yes, that's a really practical one that people can try on their dates, I think, bring an intention of presence. And obviously we're never going to be, 100% yeah. perfect and present like every single second, because that's just not, human nature, is it?
Totally. Yeah, definitely not. And when I talk about this stuff, it's really about looking for those moments where you catch yourself, yes. where you're like really caught up. Really with mindfulness, it's about recognizing when you're distracted. Of course, not even monks and nuns are going to have 100% awareness, but it's more about recognizing when you are caught up, recognizing that you're like, hang on a second, this is not helpful. And it's not, we don't always catch ourselves and we don't always, recognize when it's happening, and that's okay. We're human. Our mind is always going to be busy. And, a dating situation is going to mean that you're kind of on high alert. You might have some cortisol spinning through your body because, you're feeling a bit stressed about the situation. So there's lots of things that happen. But, if there are moments where you can recognize what's happening and recognize what's happening in the body, often our body is a really fantastic signal for us to make a change. And so I think it's having those tools at your disposal really to recognize when things are becoming unhelpful.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I recommend to clients is to create a dating ritual around dating apps, just like you would, prepare for a first date, to actually have a bit of a ritual before you pick up your phone and go on a dating app, to actually just spend a few minutes just grounding yourself in the moment, maybe letting go of any tension. If it's like at the end of the day and you've been working from home all day, just something to really help you to let go of that tension from the day, and then to set an intention to be present for your dating app experience. And clients tell me that it makes such a difference to their experience of using the app. They find that they don't get so triggered by dating apps.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of emotions attached to dating, and there is a lot of expectations attached to dating, and it's both completely, completely normal. And so often, I remember when I was out dating, and those few hours before were really the sort of moments where you felt the most nervous, the most in your head. And so being able to have whether a few moments before you, whether it's head out the door or maybe now it's a Zoom call or whatever it is, even a phone call, just bringing your awareness into your body. Because when we're nervous, we can release adrenaline, which releases cortisol, and that keeps us in a state of stress. We're sort of in a bit of a fight or flight mode. And so as part of a ritual, even if it's just five deep breaths, as I said before, getting more oxygen flowing helps to activate the calming centers of the brain, which just helps you just to take it down a few notches and to just be more present in the body. You're still going to feel nerves and you're still going to feel all the emotions, but it's just recognizing, tweaking it a bit so it doesn't overwhelm you.
Yeah, so you can really show up on that date and show up for the experience and enjoy it as well. I think it really helps you to then enjoy it. This is a new connection that you're making with someone. And I think that really helps you to, feel relaxed and at peace so that you can just really enjoy that time with someone.
Yeah, there's also a nice exercise that is more of a compassion exercise, which is around, it's called sympathetic joy, but really it's around happiness of others. But you start with yourself. And when you talked about attachment, anxious attachment theory, and that sense of feeling that like everyone around you is better, everyone around you is probably living a better life, feeling happier. And so it can be helpful depending on sort of the situation and how you're feeling, to start with some really kind words to yourself. It says, may my happiness continue. Mm-hmm. May my happiness grow. May I plant the seeds of happiness within my body. And then you think about the other person. May their happiness grow. May their happiness grow stronger. And it can just, it's not going to suit everyone, but it can be a really nice way to get you to think about, okay, well, maybe thinking of a time you were really happy, or thinking of a time where you felt really content and really secure, and just reinforcing those feelings. May those feelings continue. May they go stronger. Because it just, and it's, I've been doing quite a lot of it recently in some of the training I've been doing. And yes, it can bring up some emotions, but it also helps you to really connect with that heart center of yourself, and also recognize that being happy for other people actually helps your happiness as well.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, my heart is full hearing that. So Eve has got some great meditations on the Hinge dating app YouTube page, which I'm going to link to in the show notes. There's one about the inner voice, and there's one about predate nerds. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to link to those in the show notes if you want to try one of these meditations and create a bit of a dating ritual, whether that's, you know, something that you do before you pick up your phone and use a dating app, or whether it's something that you do before a first date. So I'm going to link to those because they're brilliant. I've done them twice, Eve. I did them first for research and as I was preparing for this podcast, and then I did them again recently. They're just so soothing, so gorgeous. So really recommend those. Final question then. If somebody is new to meditation and wants to start experimenting with mindfulness, the practice of meditation, what would you recommend?
Yeah. So my top tip I always say to people is, you know, start small. You know, a lot of people think, and I was definitely in this camp when I first started meditation, was that I had to reinvent my whole life. I had to have this whole new routine, you know, change loads of things about my life. And actually, you know, you don't. You just need a few minutes, maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes. And we've got a really fantastic course actually in the Headspace app called The Basics, where you'll learn really the foundations of meditation and mindfulness, and what's more, learn being comfortable sitting with the mind. And attach it to something that you already do. So for me, I wake up, make a coffee, I meditate, and then I take our dog Pedro out. So that's become my routine. And so see what works for you, whether mornings are good or whether afternoons are good or evenings, and try around, you know, try a few different times out and see what sticks. And most importantly, don't give yourself a hard time if you stop and start. Very normal, but hopefully you'll start to see some benefits, and more than that, you'll potentially see the impact it has on those relationships around you as well. So good luck.
Yes, okay, so we'll link to Headspace, and there's lots of free meditations, aren't there, that people can try. We'll make sure that Absolutely. We link to those. Amazing. Oh, thank you so much. God, just talking to you, your voice is so soothing. You'll know if anyone's used the Headspace app and have done any of the Eve meditations in there, they'll know just how soothing your voice is. I feel so, I mean, I'm going into my evening now, and I know you're just starting your day, but I just feel so relaxed and at peace. So thank Aww. You so much.
It's been so nice. Best part of my week, and getting to have an hour with you is just lovely. So thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.